Now Daniel so distinguished himself by his excellent qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Well, that was enough to provoke jealousy in the hearts of Daniel's colleagues, so much so that they plotted to discredit him. They examined his calendar, audited his expense reports, and interviewed his associates. They looked everywhere to find something by which to accuse him. But Daniel was squeaky clean. They could find no corruption in him. If something like a congressional committee investigated all of your affairs, what would they uncover? Dare to be a Daniel, and you'll never have to worry about their findings. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
What does it take to be a good role model? Find out next on today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Hi, I'm Brian Davis. Always glad to have you with us. Today, Ron takes us to Daniel chapter 6 and to one of the most remarkable stories in all of the Bible. Along the way, Ron shares four essential qualities that every good role model should have. Stay with us now or stop by somethinggoodradio.org where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now from his teaching series, Standing Strong, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, Inside the Lion's Den.
Well, every generation is looking for good role models, heroes, we might say, good examples to follow, and our generation is no different. Unfortunately, oftentimes we look to celebrities or maybe athletes, and sometimes they disappoint us. That's not to say that every celebrity and every athlete is a bad example or a bad role model or can't be a hero in a certain setting. But there are so many bad examples out there that it kind of tarnishes it for those who have a platform. But the good news is you don't have to have a public platform, a large Twitter following or anything like that to be a good role model, to be an example for somebody to follow, even to be a hero, even a hero of the faith. I love the superhero movies, and my son and I, it's the boys in the family that like going to those movies. The girls like other kinds of movies, but I like the Superman and the Batman and the Spider-Man and now Shazam and all of those superhero movies, but they're really not superheroes. I want to introduce you today, and we've been getting to know a real superhero of the faith. His name is Daniel. And we've been saying from the beginning of this series that he's an example worth following, an example worth imitating. He shows us how to stand strong in our faith when the heat is on, and yes, even when you might get thrown into the lion's den. Before we get to Daniel, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Get this, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And the first time I ever read that, I thought, how bold of the Apostle Paul to think that we should follow him. But he's really saying, listen, I'm following Christ just as Jesus bid me and all of us to follow him. I'm following Christ, and I'm imploring you, I'm encouraging you to follow me as I follow Christ, and we follow him together. That's a worthy model to follow. It's a worthy hero to make, a hero of the faith. And I kind of sense from the book of Daniel, if Daniel were with us today, Daniel would say, follow me as I follow Christ. You say, well, Christ hadn't even been born yet. Oh, no, he's the eternal member of the Trinity, right? And he was the fourth man in the fire. Remember that story in Daniel chapter 4, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He was the fourth man in the fire. So I think it's fair to suggest and to imagine Daniel standing before us today saying, follow me as I follow Christ. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. Now, what a great story this is. It's an iconic story, one of the great stories in the Bible. He's thrown into the lion's den, and four things emerge about his character that make him a hero worth imitating. And I want to talk about those four things today. And in doing so, show us how we can escape our own lion's den And we'll talk about that as time goes on. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The first of these four character traits that make Daniel a hero worth following, as he says to us, follow me as I follow Christ, is what I would describe as an excellent attitude. When Daniel just had, well, the scripture says an excellent spirit about him. He was just a guy that everybody loved to be around. He had a positive attitude. He infused positivity and joy and just made everybody kind of feel good as they were around Daniel. Daniel wasn't a negative Nelly. He didn't spew, you know, a poisonous negative attitude into the team. And this is one of the reasons that Daniel excelled. The Bible tells us that Darius is now the king, not over the Babylonian Empire, but now over the Medo-Persian Empire that took down the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire ends at the end of chapter 5. Nebuchadnezzar is off the scene. His grandson Belshazzar, who ruled over the Babylonian Empire, is now off the scene. And Darius the Mede is now king. And the Medo-Persian Empire that was predicted to take control has taken control. We know this fulfillment of prophecy from history. And Darius was smart enough to organize his kingdom. He was an organizational genius. He pulled together 120 leaders. And then of the 120, he had three that had distinguished themselves, three that would lead the 120, and the 120 would lead for him the kingdom. But there was one man among the three named Daniel who was exceptional. And Darius had already figured it out. Nebuchadnezzar found out that Daniel was exceptional. Belshazzar figured out that Daniel was exceptional, and it didn't take long for Darius to figure this out as well. And Darius had plans to put Daniel as number one, numero uno, to elevate him to lead not only the three, but the 120, to lead, you know, just under the king himself. And you know what happened? People grew jealous. We'll get to that in a moment. But the reason Daniel was looked at to be promoted to this level was because, well, he had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent attitude, we might say. There's an old saying, but I believe it's true. Your attitude will determine your altitude. It's really true. I've met a lot of people and served with a lot of people who have great talent, great education. They've gone to all the best schools. They have all this great experience. They are talented beyond measure. But they just have a negative, nasty attitude, and they poison the team with it. It might be in a work environment. It might be in a ministry team environment. But I've also met people that may not be the most talented individuals, but they just bring an infectious, contagious attitude, positive attitude to the environment. Your attitude really will determine your altitude. I've carried this around for me for a number of years. It's attributed to a pastor named Chuck Swindoll. It's so good that some people have put it on posters and placards. Swindoll said this, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, and it is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do." He says, attitude is more important than appearance, gifted ability, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that certain people will act in a certain way. The only thing we can do is play the one string that we have, and that string is attitude. He says, I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it, and so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And so it was with Daniel. There was a lot that Daniel couldn't control. He couldn't control that as a teenager, he had been held captive by the Babylonians and taken from his sweet and holy city of Jerusalem, his hometown, and taken to Babylon and held captive for all these years. He couldn't control that. He couldn't control what one king after another king or after another king did to make it difficult for the Hebrews to live in that pagan environment. But the one thing he could control was how he reacted to it and his attitude toward it. Now, if you don't think attitude is important and you don't think attitude determines your altitude, hold your place here in Daniel chapter 6 and turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Philippians. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." I prefer the translation that says, "Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What attitude is he talking about? He goes on to say, "Who though Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Jesus had a great attitude. He had a great attitude. He didn't consider it robbery or a deficiency to humble himself. I mean, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes to this earth in the humility of Bethlehem, clothing himself in human flesh. Are you kidding me? Oh, the humiliation of Christ. But he had this attitude, and his attitude determined his altitude, because the Bible says that the Father highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. It's just one of the four characteristics that I see in this guy, Daniel, that makes him a worthy hero for us to imitate. Let's read on in verse 4. It says, "Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him." Not only did Daniel have an excellent attitude, he had untarnished integrity. You see, all the other people among the leaders that Darius had appointed, when they began to learn that this Hebrew named Daniel was going to be appointed numero uno, they grew stinking jealous of him. That's all it is, just jealousy. And they sought to take him down. And they said, we can find something in this guy by which to accuse him and to find fault in him. And they set up an investigation. And they investigated, and they investigated, and they investigated. And you know what? They came up with nothing. Nada. Zilch. Blippo. All right? Nothing on the guy. They couldn't find anything by which to accuse him. Why? Because Daniel lived his entire life with untarnished integrity.
Don't go away. We're only about halfway through today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, Standing Strong. Look for it online at somethinggoodradio.org. Ron joins me now to talk about his book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, we continue to hear great things about your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. And what inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can. And I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's prayer. I call it the Jesus way to pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, the book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. If someone was trying to tarnish your reputation, could they find enough evidence to get the job done? Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Inside the Lion's Den.
Integrity. It's a great word. It comes from the Latin word integritas. It means wholeness or completeness or entireness. There wasn't anything missing in Daniel's character by which they could find fault in him. He was a man of integrity. Maybe a math lesson will help. Mom, dad, grandparents, are you smarter than your fifth grader this morning? Let's remember a little math lesson. Kids, help us out here, all right? Remember the difference between an integer and a fraction? An integer is a whole number. 1, 2, 5, 7, 9, 256. Those are called whole numbers, all right? A whole number has integrity because it's a whole number. It's an entire number. It's a complete number. A fraction is not a whole number. One half, one third, you know, one fourth, five sixths. It's a part of a whole number. You say, well, what does that have to do with being in church this morning? Well, here's the question. Examine yourself here. Are you an integer or are you a fraction? You see, God wants to make integers of us. People of untarnished integrity, that our character is whole and it's complete and it's entirely reflective of the character of Jesus Christ. And nobody can find fault in us. Now, Daniel was not a perfect man, a sinless man, but he was blameless. A blameless person is somebody that when he or she finds something that doesn't rise to the level of moral excellence in them, that they deal with it honestly and with integrity. They confess their sins. They repent of their sins. They ask God to cleanse them and move them forward. Daniel was not perfect. He wasn't sinless. There was only one person who was sinless, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. But he was a blameless person, a man of integrity. He was an integer and not a fraction. Coach John Wooden, you know, this is basketball time, right? Final Four time. I stayed up way too late watching my Purdue Boilermakers almost beat Virginia. Oh, oh. We won't talk about that, but Coach John Wooden is the legendary coach of the UCLA Bruins. I don't know, 10 plus national championships to his credit. Coach Wooden says, in its simplest form, integrity is purity of intention. It's keeping a clean conscience. Purity of intention is really a reflection of the heart. People with integrity always want to do what's right once they are sure what right is. And then he says, as only a legendary basketball coach can say, people of integrity do what is right both on and off the court. Are you a person of integrity? It wasn't enough that the other leaders couldn't find some fault in Daniel. When they found him to be faultless, they changed their strategy. Let's read on in verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said, "Oh, King Darius, live forever." Flattery's going to get them somewhere. Listen to this. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. And therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. Well, if you can't investigate somebody and come up with some fault by which to charge them, then create some legislation that backs him into a corner. And go flatter the king a little bit, as they did. And they have the king. They bring a piece of legislation to the king and have him sign it. You know, Darius loved to be flattered. And it was a law that could not be revoked. You ever heard of the law of the Medes and the Persians? Well, it comes from this. A law that was put in place that could not be revoked. It had the king's stamp of approval on it. The legislation passed. Now look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel was not only a man of excellent attitude and untarnished integrity, but here we see his fearless piety. Daniel was a practicing Jew. He worshiped the one true God of Israel, not the pagan gods of Babylon or the pagan gods now of the Medo-Persian Empire. No, Daniel stayed true to his God. He was a godly man in a godless culture. And here we have a little insight into his daily practice, his spiritual disciplines, his fearless piety. He could have heard about the legislation and the signing of the document and just cowered in fear, closed up his windows and just prayed in secret so that nobody would see him. But that's not the way Daniel prayed. Let's examine a little bit of his prayer life. I think it's instructive for us today, and there are three things that we learn about Daniel's prayer life. First of all, he had a place to pray. Do you see that? It says that he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He never lost sight of the holy city of God. He never lost sight of his spiritual heritage that he grew up in. His parents must have done a great job raising him, because even as a young teenager, I mean, Daniel was strong in his faith, and we've learned about that all throughout the first half of the book of Daniel. But he had a place to pray. By the way, do you have a place to pray?
You're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message, Inside the Lion's Den, is part of Ron's series, Standing Strong. Look for it under the library tab at somethinggoodradio.org. Now, here's Ron with a preview of his next message.
You have that kind of faith? The kind of faith that when things don't seem to be going your way and the legislation, you know, is against you in some way, and you know the posse that is formed against you seems to be winning the day, you literally get tossed into the lion's den. Daniel had the kind of faith as if to say, I don't know what the end result's going to be here, but I trust God to take care of me. And the God of heaven shut the mouths of lions because of Daniel's faith.
That's next time in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Inside the Lion's Den. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.